Dip, 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 dip. Live and Lansing, Jack Ebeling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack Ebeling, Scott Eckersley, Ebeling and you, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in and first installment of a new segment called Get a Job, and that is Ken Glickman, Principal Consultant, Gilbert Tweed Associates. Hello, Ken.
Hey, how are you, Jack? Good to see you.
You know, I can't give your entire title and resume here in terms of career development, but you're also involved with private career counseling and human resource consulting.
And I also have a column for the Lansing State Journal in career counseling. So,
you know, people see you in the Lansing State Journal and they say, okay, here's, oh, wait a minute, he's not writing about shows. He's writing about why I got fired last
week. It's very strange. And it's usually people read one or the other and they just can't get them. They get very confused.
So. Very confused.
But you, I know you're not, though.
No, I'm confused all the time, not just when I read you. Want to talk a little bit about the job process. And one of the very important elements is the job interview, which may be a little more than we think. It's not always just the formal sit-down interview, correct?
No, it's not. There's two parts of a job interview that get people all messed up. One is the phone interview. You know, we are so used to being casual on the phone and talking to our pals on the phone and talking to our friends on the phone that we don't consider that an interview, and it is, and it's being looked at as such. I mean, if you don't pass that test, you won't get to the face-to-face. So the phone interview is a big issue. We won't talk about that today, but we can in future weeks. But today we're going to talk about the interview that's over coffee or over lunch or even over a nice romantic dinner with wine. And
how many interviews have that component?
Oh, a lot.
A lot.
Especially at high levels.
Mm-hmm. Right. They want to know more about you, so they're constantly evaluating.
Well, and there's sometimes where there is an interview, but there is no job. Because they'll like you, they'll think your background is very good and very appropriate for their company. They don't have a particular job, but they might. So they say, you know what, this person is just too good to not talk to, so let's spend the time. And they say, why don't we go out for dinner? And they'll go out for dinner, and they'll have a drink, and they'll have wine, and they'll have, you know, a nice meal. And the interviewer just relaxes and kicks back, and it isn't until afterwards when he's walking out of the place, he says, oh, wow, I just...
Why did I say that?
Yeah, why did I say, or why didn't I say
why didn't
more?
I say that?
They really, the pressure, the edge that you have in an interview is dissipated when you're sort of romanced.
All right. When a company is interviewing a candidate and there is no job to be a candidate for, are they doing that interview, that entire process, with the idea that something may come up at some point? They're kind of trying to put someone in the back burner. Or are they trying to pick his brain and get information?
Well, now that's a very cynical way of looking at interviewing,
yeah.
Jack. That would never happen, now would it?
No. Only daily.
Yes, they can... and some candidates feel like they are really being pumped for information about a competitor or about what's going on. And some feel like they are sort of giving away an hour of free consulting services.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because the boss will say, we've got this real problem in our operations area or in our sales area. What do you think you could do for that?
Mm-hmm.
And this person will really spout forth some really great ideas that this person will take.
How do you avoid falling in that trap?
Well, you know, you just give them as much as can be dangerous.
Are you allowed to ask before you really get into that setting, do you have a job here that you're trying to fill?
No, because usually at the beginning they'll say, we don't have a specific job. But let me say this. I think one of the problems that people have is they think that companies are so rigid with their little boxes of all their jobs in the organization chart. Work is not like that. If a company will see someone who is really exciting and a great culture fit for the company, they'll create a job.
Right.
They'll say, we will make a VP of sales for you.
You can sell yourself to the point where there is no job becomes a job.
Exactly. And that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's always fun to talk to people who have gotten a job and you say, I didn't even know there was a job open there. And he said, well, you know, there wasn't. And we had a dinner and we just hit it off.
Right.
And we just had a lot of friends in common, a lot of professional friends in common. And he made a job for me. It happens a lot.
If not, at least you get a free dinner, right?
Absolutely. Why not?
Ken Glickman, Principal Consultant, Gilbert Tweed Associates, does a lot of private career counseling and human resource consulting as well. Our Get a Job segment for this week. Ken, in terms of you talk about the danger associated either not selling yourself, not saying something, or saying the wrong thing. Do more people talk themselves into jobs or talk themselves out of jobs? By flapping their gums.
Yeah, well, there's two things that people do during an interview process. It's one, they talk too much, mm-hmm. and they simply can't stop. They're nervous. Mm-hmm. I had a candidate during one of my job interviews. He spoke, the guy said something like, well, geez, you know, I really like your resume. Why don't you tell me about yourself? And the guy spoke for 42 minutes nonstop. And I was pulling the few hairs I have on my head, I was pulling out of my head. The other thing is that people are so scared and nervous, and they don't want to brag about themselves, mm-hmm. that they say very, very little. Mm-hmm. And the interviewer is pulling like taffy the mm-hmm. information mm-hmm. from them, trying to get some information.
Now, so, we're not saying that people should trump up their resumes and invent things, but this is a time to pat yourself on the back, right?
You are the only one that's going to do it. I mean, this is the time that you really got to tell stories about your success and about mm-hmm. all of your accomplishments. And yes, you have to brag. And in this country, we are not used to doing that. We feel uncomfortable doing that.
You know, everyone sells. They may not realize it. You may be selling yourself to someone you're attracted to.
Or your ideas.
Or your ideas. Mm-hmm. Or you may be, in whatever it is, you're trying to get your way and you're trying to sell a particular idea or concept. In this case, the product is you.
And that's why it's so difficult. And some of the worst people in interviews are salesmen.
Is that right?
Because they are so used to selling a product that when it comes to them, they really have a hard time defining themselves. And that's why the first thing that I work with folks in career counseling is to do an inventory, a due diligence, mm-hmm. as it were, of themselves. What am I good at? What do I really take a lot of pride in? Mm-hmm. What am I best at? What do I do that I know I'm a hero at? And I really want to sell this.
What do you say if an employer, prospective employer, asks you, what are you terrible at? What's the worst thing about you?
You know, that's such a trick question. And I usually tell people to do something that is so obviously a sham, but it's such a sham question that I go with it, which is you say something that people want to have, like, well, I'm just so dedicated to my work that there's no room for anything else in my life because I give everything to my company. Well, obviously, someone wants a guy like that, you know, and so they'll say that because I can't imagine why a person would ask that and think that they're going to get the truth. But sometimes I have heard that, and they feel that they really want to be honest, and they will go to it and talk about all their terrible attributes. All, you know, well, I stole, you know, a few $100 from my company. I bashed up the company car once, and I did.
If I were an employer, I wouldn't really want to hear that. That wouldn't make me want to hire someone, but I wouldn't want to have someone say, well, you know what? I haven't figured out what's wrong with me yet. I really don't have any weaknesses.
You know, many years ago, I saw the lawyer for O.J. Simpson mm-hmm. when that trial was on Larry King.
Robert Shapiro?
And, maybe it was Dershowitz.
Alan Dershowitz.
It wasn't the lawyer, but it was a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And he says, do you think that Shapiro really thinks that Simpson is innocent?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, I don't think he ever asked him. He says, he says because the lawyer's job is to be the advocate.
Right.
And then the prosecutor is the advocate for the other side.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if he's innocent or guilty. He's the advocate. Well, in an interview situation, you are the advocate for you. That is your job. You don't have to tell him the whole truth.
Right.
You don't have to tell him all of your negatives, because it's probably pretty impossible to talk about your negatives anyway.
Right.
They're much worse. They're much less than you think they are. So simply be your advocate.
Your negatives are less than you think they are. You think that's a blanket statement that holds for most
people? Yeah, I think people, I think people's negatives are like a huge stumbling block in front of them, and they can't get beyond it.
Fascinating. We have so much to talk about in terms of getting a job and employment, and we're going to touch on different aspects of this each week. And we're going to take questions that we can explore with Ken Glickman. And Scott, you want to fill our listeners in on Facebook and Twitter possibilities for the show?
Yeah, if you want to ask a question, you can just message me on Twitter. It's at Ebling and You for this, or you can go on Facebook, the page. Just search for Ebling and You on Facebook and become a fan that way.
All right, we will be back next week, and we'll be back with more Ebling and You on 1320 WILS.